Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Horticulture Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with Wouter Zeek, Phil Griffiths and Jan Willem Weringa from Desch Plant Pack. Now, Desch Plant Pack manufactures thermoformed pots and containers, transport trays, sealing trays, transplant trays and bedding packs. And today we're going to be covering topics around sustainability in horticulture. But first of all, Phil, I just wanted to ask you, I heard that you love the industry so much that at one point you were running a pub, but you felt the draw of horticulture so much you got back into it. Is that correct?
You shouldn't go believing everything you hear, Matt. Indeed, I was running two pubs in one time. I called it my time in the wilderness. And some people would say some people never learn. So here I am for 4 and a bit years, I think, now back in horticulture with Desch.
Well, it's great that you're around. Now, Jan, I wanted to ask you, can you give us a bit of background on the company? What do you do?
Yeah, no. First of all, thank you for having us on this podcast. A first for us, so we'll do our best. Desch Plant Pack has a long history. I mean, today we are a group of six factories, one in the lovely UK, of course, which has a history of at least 30 years. We have now four factories in the Netherlands. And since the IPP acquisition, we have a factory in Poland too. So six factories, over 300 employees, and we're fully dedicated to the horticulture industry.
Great. Excellent. That's a good bit of background. Now, I wanted to ask, in 2018, plastics rose right up the news agenda with David Attenborough, Blue Planet 2, and that made some big changes in the industry. So, Wouter, what happened with Desch at that point? What did you do to sort of react to that?
Well, actually, we did start a little bit earlier than Attenborough on the topic of plastics. Long time ago, almost at the same time, both in the UK and in Holland, we started thermoform flower pots by using half the weight of the material, still having a very good product that performs well in horticultural automation, the total growing process, etc., etc. So we did cut down 50% back then already. And it turned out to be the industry standard at a later stage when everybody more or less copied what we did. So all the competitors in the market or colleagues in the market now more or less do the same thing. So we are down to the minimum of material, and of the material that we use, the vast majority is recycled material and has been recycled material for a very long time already. Lately, the scenery is changing a little bit from, let's call it all kinds of industrial waste, to more selected waste sources, such as post-consumer waste, material that has been thrown away at home, being picked up again and processed into a new and good source for new products. And that's what we use more and more and more, but also based on post-industrial materials, all with full certification that it can actually be recycled and that it can be detected in waste separation by near infrared. So we're going more and more into the direction of actually closing the full loop, that we can really reuse the material that we put in the market ourselves.
Brilliant. It sounds like you're well ahead of the game there. But in 2020, obviously, COVID pandemic hit the world and the plastics issue in horticulture kind of went down the agenda, and the whole sustainability issue went down the agenda. So how do you bring that back up the agenda? I mean, I don't know who wants to sort of address that one.
I mean, I don't think it ever went away. I mean, in building to what Wouter said about, you know, the history and where we are, you know, the whole image of plastic, of course, you know, got under pressure, which was frustrating for people like us who had think we were doing a great job using recycled material. And now we've made the switch to the newer products that we're going to talk about. I mean, 2020, of course, Corona, we had other worries, but we never stopped the transition. So if you look at the new products that we've developed, DTEC, DTEC Plus, and Recover, I mean, today they are now 70% of our sales of Thermopod. I mean, it's an incredible transition that just kept going despite COVID.
Now, that's brilliant. Can you tell us a bit more about those new products?
Yeah, so, you know, you refer to 2018, you know, sort of looking in the mirror, we're doing already a great job because our products are made of recycled material. Well, first of all, a lot of customers, growers didn't even know about it. So we had to do a better job explaining that to them. So it's on all of our boxes now. We put recycle messages, which I think is a good thing. Secondary, two things happened. We made our products better detectable in the waste recycling stream, DTEC, DTEC Plus. And then we have another, you know, Rolls-Royce product, which is called Recover, which is made from certified post-consumer waste.
Great. Okay. Now, looming on the horizon in the UK, Phil, is possible future legislation which may be a threat to the industry, maybe around taxes. Is there anything on the horizon there which you're worried about?
I think it's something that we're very mindful of all the while, and which is why we have invested so much time and money into the new future models, if you will, with as Jan has just said, the new formulations, detectability in the plastic, but it is all about trying to educate as much the retailers as it is the buying consumers. You know, a lot of this development and the seed change really took place first here in the UK, and was raised by one of our largest supermarket customers. And at that point, it really wasn't that self-evident in mainland Europe at that point, other than, of course, the supply chain in from the continent into the UK, multiple retailers, the supermarkets. So I think it is something whereby it has even changed from the days of, oh, taupe is the new black scenario that was put out there. I mean, we sell way, way, way more terracotta and grey than we sell taupe. And the resulting factor is it is still detectable. It is still separatable as far as the flotation is concerned. So our material floats to the surface when it is being sorted through the recycling plants in the water tanks. So it is kept completely clean and separate from all the stuff that goes to landfill. So I think we are always mindful of of what's happening and the taxation rules when they come in. I think, you know, plastic has a very vital role still to play within horticulture, not only just with pots and containers, but throughout the industry. And I think we just have to make sure that our act is as clean as it can be. It's ironic in some ways that in my past history, working with Meredith Nurseries, for example, in the dim and distant past, when I was dim and it was distant, was that Plant Pack, as we were referred to in those days before the DESH involvement, were always classed as, oh, you don't want to buy pots from Plant Pack. There's too much recycled material in there.
Really?
How ironic in 2021 that in those days we were keeping, you know, we weren't publicising the fact that we were using recycling because it was seen as very much a negative. And as Wouter said, we were really there at the outset leading the way by using so much of a recycled content.
Now, talking of the recycling and the black plastic, a couple of years ago, we did a couple of surveys with local authorities in the UK. We looked at 100 of them, and most of them, about 88%, I remember, said that they wouldn't recycle plastic plant pots, no matter what colour they were, which came as a bit of a surprise to me and to everyone else. Do you know if that's changed at all, Phil?
Very little, very little. There was a BBC documentary, Dispatches documentary, and it was a local council to our factory, Southend-on-Sea. And they were saying that 45% of their recycling, so 45% of the stuff that they've collected and consumers have selected to be recyclable, went for incineration.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that, but I still am optimistic because, you know, going back to the tax, as far as I know in the UK, the tax will be applicable on products that contain less than 30% recycled material.
Yeah.
So basically, our whole product range should be exempt from this taxation, which is a good thing. The more demand there will be for recycled material, I believe long-term that councils, that waste disposal systems, etc., will further invest because it's like urban mining, no? The material, there is no waste anymore. It becomes potential valuable material going forward. And if we all make that transition, then we're going towards a circular economy, which is what we're all trying to achieve, right?
Yeah, well, let's hope that mind shift happens. Now, just moving on, this great demand for gardening that last year and this year as people are all stuck at home.
Yep.
So from what I'm hearing, that means there's a great demand for your products. What are you seeing there? How much has demand gone up and how are you coping with that?
From a UK basis, Matt, presumably, yes, or
yeah,
global,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly on the domestic side of things, the demand has in certain areas has really gone through the roof. We have a category which we sort of categorize as retail, but really it is home propagation, hobby gardening, and it's for kits and components that we would sell not through the grower, but direct into the retail supply chain.
Oh, yeah.
And that that sector, because as you know, the packet seed sale business this year has exploded, and of course has taken with it the home propagation range that we produce along with it. I have to say that at this current moment in time, the sales outstrip supply because it has really gone much beyond what we would have expected and indeed the customers that we're selling to would have expected. So it's a tough cookie to keep up with, but it's a good problem to have, providing we can satisfy the demand out there. It's a good news story. I mean, the home gardening, the grow it at home story just seems to get stronger and stronger. And it really was given such an impetus by lockdown.
Yeah, and building on that, in December we added another new thermoformer to the UK operations.
Yep.
We have more temps in the operations in the UK than ever before. There is a new scheme at the moment in the UK stimulating companies like us to hire young people with a lot of discount. So we employed a few of those youngsters at the moment to give them a chance to start. And yeah, at the moment it's all hands on deck. So it's a stressful time, but you know, it's good. I mean, we're growing, and you know, at the end of the day, that's what we like to see.
Is the demand the same Europe wide?
Yes. I mean, if you look at 2020, the UK got hit hard because you guys were very hit hard by COVID and the lockdowns. So if we look at 2020, for us, the UK market was the market where we suffered the most. I mean, Wouter, correct me if I'm wrong, in Holland, the garden centers in 2020 didn't shut down until what, November, December?
Correct. Yeah.
So now it's the other way around, where Holland, Germany, or other big markets have had a bit more impact of lockdown, but in the quieter months. But yeah, we see a good demand across, you know, most of our important countries.
Absolutely. Demand is very strong all over Europe. And what we see happening right now is that demand is that strong that it's still difficult for the for all the suppliers to follow that. Basically, what happened last year in the UK is that UK was closed pretty much, and so there was much import from abroad. So plant sales from Holland, from Belgium, from Germany to the UK was very strong. And so therefore demand was good, prices were good, everybody was still happy with the year, which is a little bit strange if you consider that it was a very difficult year all in all. But it turned out very well for the growers, and now they are, based on that, very optimistic for this season as well. And they have bought a lot of material, and they are growing a lot of material in with the expectation that more or less the same will happen as last year. So people will buy a lot because they are bound to stay at home or more or less around their homes. They're not traveling. And so business for these kinds of products, not just plants, but there are several others as well, is actually very strong throughout Europe.
But it's not all hallelujah, Matthew. I mean, at the moment, we're seeing a massive shortage of raw material and incredible increases in prices, something that we haven't seen. I mean, I've been in the plastics industry for 25 years, I think Wouter even up to 30 years. But what we're seeing at the moment, it's hard to get sufficient material, particularly virgin, which we hardly use, but also recycled material. It suddenly is like, where is all the stuff? And if we can get it, the prices are going up truckload by truckload. So unfortunately, we're also forced to pass on some of that increases to our customers.
That was one thing I was going to bring up. What sort of impact is this having on prices?
Yeah, I mean, there is an impact. I mean, unfortunately, the increases that we're seeing, which is sometimes 20, 30, 40% increases on raw material, you know, we cannot absorb. So depending on the product lines, we're implementing price increases. What, Wouter, 5, 10%?
Yeah, it depends a little bit on the material. You're absolutely right. It's anywhere between 10 and even up to 100% for prime materials, which we hardly use. But for some products, you also do need a little bit of that. So yes, we push that forward onto the market, and it's something that you see as a general issue in the market. It's not just on plastics. There is a big demand for product, and there's a shortage of supply.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I think we've covered a lot of ground there, but I just wanted to sort of sum up what might happen in the future, just getting a word from each of you on where do you think sustainability and plastics in the horticulture industry is going over the next few years. So does anyone want to kick off with that?
I mean, we're in a good corner of the market. I mean, nobody really knows what happens when Corona is completely, you know, dealt with. There is, at the moment, staycation. People have reappreciated their homes, their gardens, their balconies. As Phil alluded to, the whole, how do you say that, reappreciation of growing your own vegetables. I mean, I'm a farmer's son. I mean, for 20, 30 years, it was not cool to grow your own vegetables, where now it is perceived to be like, you know, you're a rock star if you do that stuff. So I think from an industry point of view, we're in a good angle. And I think what we've done as well to make good plastic products even better, better recyclable, etc. You know, I'm proud of the transition we have done, which was not easy. So I think we're ready for the future. But, you know, I'll gladly give it to Wouter and Phil to see what their sensation is.
Yeah, very, very general. I think this will continue. The path that we have chosen, we will continue doing that. Also, based on the fact that Europe has a target for 2025 to use more recycled material, to use less disturbing materials, et cetera, the pact for 25. And as all the countries throughout Europe start to do more and more recycling, they start to get to be more and more ready to use these kinds of recycled products and actually get them back to the user that makes something new out of it again. So the loop is getting closed more and more in the years to come. So we keep doing that. On the other hand, there's also demand for alternative products. We do have some of those products in our range as well. Products such as fiber, products based on polylactic acid. So things in the bio range, but that is very small piece of what we do and a very particular type of market. We foresee the future still to be in lightweight, plastic, fully recyclable products.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think the other thing as well, Matt, that is relevant, and as things begin to settle down with what everybody chooses as far as their sustainable route, is that, you know, we have had this period specifically in the UK, but it goes Europe-wide, where do we have grey, do we have taupe, do we have black, do we have terracotta? At the end of the day, if we are going to be able to satisfy the needs of the market, we are going to have to, as an industry, narrow down what we offer. Because, you know, whether it's a warehouse in Holland or in Germany or the UK, it is only of a certain dimension with a certain capacity. And if you go back 18, 24 months, the choices were black or terracotta. And so the division of space for holding stock was down those two variants. The more variants that we offer and the market is slow to decide which variant they're going to go for, the less stock holding there is of each variant, because you can only divide the pie into so many pieces that are going to last for the supply season.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you to Wouter Ziek, Jan Wilhelm Veringa and Phil Griffiths from Desch Plant Pack. And thanks for listening to the Horticulture Week podcast with Desch Plant Pack. Please subscribe at hortweek.com and listen to the full back catalogue of podcasts at hortweek.com/podcasts. And once again, thank you and goodbye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.